Do I need all these books? I think I'll take just two of them. Let us pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that you open our eyes that we see, you open our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight we're continuing in the Coach of Honor. We're going to try to give you some old notes from the Coach of Honor. Last week I went through some scriptures. And again, I can't stress enough about the importance of understanding the supernatural. Yes, sir. This is a supernatural kingdom that we're in. And until we learn how to operate in it, just like, again, like breathing. That's what I want for this class and for all those who come after. And we are in the process of training. Our apostle have heard from heaven, and this is what he wants you to understand, that it is a supernatural kingdom. As we go through these scriptures, we're going to see that the Bible is a supernatural book. Our Father is a supernatural Father, and everything he showed us in Scripture. And, you know, when I was growing up, I heard the stories of the three Hebrew boys and how they went in the fire. And when they came out, it was unscathed. That's a supernatural act. I heard about Daniel the lion's den. That's and how he came through. He was not eaten by a hungry lion. That's supernatural. So God want us to be the same way in this time and in this day, where that we can walk in the kingdom as supernatural beings and see God in operation. So last week I gave you a scripture to meditate in Matthew 10 and 41. I hope you meditated it. And like I say, I'm basically all I am is a pointer. I point the scriptures out to you. As I point them out to you, the Holy Ghost is the one who reveals and opens up to you. If you don't know, if you don't reveal, then that means you're not asking. Because the Apostle Paul, if you go back and read that prayer in Ephesians 1 and 16 through 21, where he said that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's an anointed prayer that if you're not getting what you want to get, then you can begin to pray those prayers, meditate them, and see what God is saying. Then he will open up the scriptures to you. So the scripture that we ended up with last week is Matthew 10 and 41. He said that he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, in the name. So we're talking about name. This week we'll sort of get into some of the names that God is concerned about. In the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. There's a principle there. And so as we go in and we put other, we can put apostle. He who receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. He who receive a teacher in the name of a teacher shall receive a teacher's reward. If you put a pastor in there, you can put yourself, you can put a Christian. He that receive a Christian in the name of a Christian shall receive a Christian's reward. And so in our lesson, as we are developing this coach of honor here, names and titles are important. They define a person's role and identity. And when used correctly, establish God-designed relationships in which specific rewards are given and received to build and strengthen us. These are God designed names, not aliases that we have, but these are God names that are given to us. In the natural, if I say lawyer, everybody in here would have some idea what a lawyer does. If I say judge, you would have some idea what a judge do. If I say doctor, physician, you would have some idea what a physician does. But God has given us in basically when we start talking about these fivefold ministry gifts, We talk about the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist, pastors and the teachers. When I say an apostle, then everybody should have some idea what an apostle is or what he does. Same thing with a prophet, same thing with a pastor, same thing with a teacher, and same thing with an evangelist. And so as we are studying and going through these lessons, we are finding out what, how God feel about names that he give people. Abraham, Abram. He was called Abram. God gave him a name. He said, this is the name that I'm going to give to you. I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. So when God gives you a name, or when he calls you something, all the character, all the attributes that you need to carry out is already in that name. So when Jesus said, to every man he has given a certain amount of grace, in Ephesians 4 and 11, one of the things he said, I gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, and he gave it. And so what he did, he put in those names the graces that they needed to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, until the whole body come into the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man, and to the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus. So in those names that God gave to those fivefold minister graces, he put enough of his characteristics, enough of his attributes in those names to impart to the body of Christ so they could carry out what they needed to do in the kingdom of God. So a culture of honor is created as a community of people learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identities. And so as you learn to receive what God has put in people, then you receive them in their God-given identities. There are relationships that attract and sustain the outpouring of God's presence and power in our midst. As we are studying these fivefold ministry gifts, one of the things that we're going to find out as we go through, the first two, the apostles and the prophet. Remember Ephesians 2:19 and 20, where it tells us that tell you that we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so it goes on to say, and we're all built up of being a habitation of God through the Spirit as we read on through those scriptures. And so what we're doing, we are developing a core value in each one of us that we can understand that God has himself and given names to individuals. When the lesson that I told you to read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and where you've seen where, you know, he put the body together and how he gave every part of the body certain names. He gave every part of the body, the apostles and the prophets and the teachers. And then he said, once my apostolic government is in place, then we can begin to see these signs and wonders and miracles operating in the body of Christ. We need to begin to see. We have to have these experiences with God. We have to do this in order to show the world system that we are in a different kingdom. We are not like the world system. We're in a total different system, a total different kingdom. And since we are in a total different kingdom, we should be operating differently than the world system. There are certain things that God has given to us, and he told us through his words that we should be victorious in every situation. We should not be like the world system. Romans 12:2 tells us that. Tells us that what he said. He said we should not be conformed to this world or this world system, but we should be transformed. That means, like I say, I watch the Transformers, and I see those vehicles go from little trucks to big 18-wheelers, or Camaros to 18-wheelers. They are being transformed from something small into something large that's effective. So that's what we should be doing. And the way we do it is by understanding what the Word of God is saying to us. the names apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists, and their distinct anointings, mindsets, and gift create a network of relationships designed to bring the focus and priorities of heaven to earth. And so in the old paradigm, we was always trying to get from earth to heaven. That's what we, and the thing that stayed on our mind all the time was that, you know, when I die, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, that was, you know, that was a big thing. When I die, I'm going to heaven. We weren't so much concerned about here on earth. But one of the things that Jesus began to teach us and to tell us is that his kingdom come, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have to understand that. Matthew 6, he tells us that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as we are developing this apostolic government in place and putting it in place, we have to understand. Our apostle gave us a definition yesterday of what the apostolic government looks like. I wrote it down, so if you don't have it, I'm going to give it to you now. You probably hear it again, and you hear it again, and you hear it again. I know Dr. Leroy always talks about it, and he expresses it a lot. Our apostle brought it up yesterday. If you was in service yesterday, you got it. But apostolic government is a structured heaven-to-earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be open. And so if there's a supernatural portal that opens up for us who are in the kingdom of God, when we're operating in God's system the way it should be done. The world system cannot see it. World system cannot operate in it, but we who are in the kingdom should be able to operate in this kingdom with that portal being open. And so that's how all these people, I'm gonna show you in the scripture, some people who operated this way and how supernatural things begin to happen. Well, Jesus was our example, and we're gonna, as we cover the lesson, we're going to see how Jesus operated in. He was our example, and he operated as a man in the earth with certain attributes upon him. And so we should be able to operate the same way. Leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people according to the names God gives them and not according to the aliases they receive from people. See, we, you know, when we were born into this kingdom, into this world system, we was given a name. You know, my name is John Davis. I was named after my father. But then I have some other attributes. I went to school. I got a degree in biology. I got a degree in pharmacy. And so when you look at now the names that are in the world system that has been given to me, if you think of pharmacists, you think of someone who pushes pills, you know, a legal drug dealer. And so when you see this, so in the kingdom of God, God has given individuals names. And so when you see those names or when you hear those names, certain things should come to you. Your thought processes. Apostle, I got some duties that's executed by an apostle. If I think about them, I tell you what, let's go over them now. And what I normally do in my classes, those duties I put up on the internet. There's about 26 of them that I cover. And I usually, when I come into class, I cover when I start teaching on these fivefold ministry gifts and the apostles. So let me tell you a little bit about the apostles, since it's important that we who are in the kingdom haven't heard that much. We have, you know, if I say pastor, most of us know about a pastor. If I say evangelist, most of us know about an evangelist. If I say a teacher, most of us know who teachers are. And, you know, some of us know what a prophet is, but very few of us know what an apostle is. So when God set it up, he set the apostle first. And he set the apostle up, the Apostle Paul, for instance. Apostle Paul went out and he sat in the presence of God for 14 years out in that Arabian desert until God revealed the kingdom to him and revealed Jesus to him. And he knew exactly. So he came back and he wrote to the church in these various epistles. What the church doctrine should be, what it should look like. And so he was telling us, this is how you operate in the kingdom. After Jesus have resurrected, after he'd been buried, He resurrected and ascended to the throne. This is what should be happening. So let me give you a little bit, I'm going to give you five of them tonight, and then we'll go on with some more lesson. Duties executed by the apostles. And by this time next week, I will have them up on the internet on one of the pages, probably the page from the night. And that's actually 26 duties that we will cover before this class over. And like I say, until I go through each one of them, I will cover five of them on each class, because I don't want to take the whole class on the duties of an apostle. But before the semester's over, we'll know all of them. The first duty that I have for an apostle, the apostle gathers, G-A-T-H-E-R. And what the apostle does when he gathers, the apostolic anointing is a gathering anointing. Apostles gather people for the purpose of teaching, training, and mobilizing them to fulfill the purposes and plans of God. If you know, we have an apostle here, and one of the things that we notice he's doing, he's gathering ministries and ministers together, and he's mobilizing them. He's training them that they can go out and execute the plans and purposes of God. That's his whole purpose as being apostle. And so it goes on to say they have the charisma to attract people for the purposes of the kingdom. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So if you want to add a scripture there, it's Matthew 12 and 30. But like I said, the first one is he gather, apostle gathers. The second is to impart. An apostle imparts. An apostle have an ability to impart spiritual graces to the saints. Let's go back to Ephesians 4 and 11 again. And like I say, that those things, when he say for the perfecting of the saints, that's an impartation. We who are part of LTMA, Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association, every first Tuesday of every month, there's an impartation call that goes out to every minister that's under that umbrella. And the apostle comes online and ministers, whether you're in Seattle, Washington, or whether you're in Baltimore, Maryland, or wherever you are, you comes on that line, and for an hour, the apostle is imparting to you things about the kingdom of God and things that are on him. And while I'm here, let me go to turn to Numbers. And like I say, as I'm ministering, the Holy Spirit will bring up certain things to me. And Numbers chapter 11, when I say impart this, I want you to see this. Moses in the Old Testament was like an apostle. And so what he did, we understand that he brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And so he was leading the people. And so here in Numbers chapter 11, looking at verse 16. And in verse 16, and the Lord said unto Moses, he said, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. So he said, you know, some people that you know that have matured in the things of God, like here at Water Life Christian Center. We have Circle Life Leaders. We have Master Bearers. Same thing in LTMA. He have his Master Bearers, which is 12 of them under him. They have individuals. And so what he does, he takes what's on him and he imparts it to them so they can impart it to the body itself. That's God's way of doing things. Watch what he says here. He said, and God says, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down. This is what God said. God said, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit that which is up on thee. God didn't say, I'm going to take my spirit that's on me and put it on. He said, he's going to take the spirit that's up on Moses and he's going to put it on them. So the 70 elders, he's going to take that same spirit that was up on him. So we have an apostle here. And that's the principle. This is where God operates. He said, I'm going to take the spirit that's up on him, the apostle that you are under, and I'm going to take that spirit and I'm going to put it up on you so that you can operate the same way. You're not an apostle, but you have the same spirit that an apostle have, and you can operate the same way he does. If signs and wonders are following his life, then signs and wonders will be a part of your life. Why? Because you are connected to an apostle. You're not just here by accident. God has supernaturally brought you here and assigned you, connected you. Remember, there's a connection that takes place. So you're connected to an apostle. So God wants the same thing that happens in an apostle's life to happen in your life. If he's walking around debt free, you should be walking around debt free. If you are, if he's walking around with a young mind and thinking that, you know, perpetual youth, then we should also be thinking perpetual youth the same way. So whatever's on his life. So this is what God said. He said, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it up on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou shall not bear it alone. So what he's saying, the apostle cannot bear this burden by himself. He needs some helpers. And those helpers got to be trained, what do you say, to work in the ministry. So what's on him, he's going to impart to you so you can operate like he does here in the earth realm. For instance, our apostle, he cannot on a daily basis. If service is going on Sunday, first thing that you see, you walk onto the parking lot, you see parking attendants out there parking a lot. But the same anointing that's up on that apostle's life should be on those parking attendants' life. Or you walk through the front doors and you see greeters. The same anointing that's up on those on the apostle's life should be up on those greeters' life. And anything, if you're on the cameras, the same anointing that's on his life, that's where God set it up. That's his principle. That's the way he does it. And so that's, I go back to Matthew 10 and 41 again. It said, he that receiveth an apostle in the name of apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. And so that reward should be on your life because you're receiving him that way. That's where God. God said, I set it up that way. And since I set it up that way, we should operate in that way. And then the supernatural begin. That's God's government, supernatural apostolic government in place. I can go through the book of Acts. And I can see individuals who operate. I call them my table waiters. We'll get a chance to see them. So let me give you some more of these. I got three more of them at least. Apostles, another duty that's executed by the apostle. The apostles mobilize. Apostles have the ability to stir up and mobilize the army of God. People need to be gathered and mobilized to fulfill the Great Commission. So again, we here at Word of Life Christian Center. That's the only place I can talk of because that's part what I'm a part of. I don't know what anybody else is doing, but I know what's happening here. Right. God is mobilizing his army so we can go out and fulfill the Great Commission. If you've been in the sanctuary, if you're part of the sanctuary, when you walk in, you see on the backboard say we are changing lives of people with the Word of God. You look on the other side on that wall over there, says we're equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. So that's part of that Great Commission that Jesus told us to go out and teach that gospel, teach the good news to every creature, every nation on the face of the earth. So he's training us. He's teaching us so that we can do that. So he's mobilizing us. If we're not doing it, then we're getting fat. We're sitting there. We're taking in substance. And if we don't exercise that substance, what happens? It sets in, we get fat and lazy and don't accomplish anything. Amen. So let's go on. Number four, the fourth thing that an apostle does, he order. An apostle brings order and government to the church. The apostolic anointing is a governing anointing. Government is necessary to facilitate the flow of God's power and anointing. So when we think of an apostle, we've seen funnels, for instance. And what God does, he at the top is like so. And so the first thing the apostle is, he's hearing from heaven. And so then it's going to flow down. It's going to should flow down to the even our prophets. It should flow down to the pastors. It should flow down to the evangelists and teachers. So if he's spending his time in the presence of God, finding out what heaven wants here on earth, then he's bringing that back to individuals who are hearing him, whether it's the congregation, whether it's in his leadership, whether it be pastors, teachers, or evangelists that's under him, then that what God wants here on earth should be flowing through him into those individuals. We who are in the body of Christ, you know, in this Western society, we know that the pastor basically is in charge of the church now. You know, and so that's why, you know, many times we, you know, in the scriptures say, where are all those signs and all those wonders? We're not seeing those signs and those wonders and those miracles because God's government has not been in place like it should be. And once we get that government in place, and then we're going to begin to see, we're going to begin to experience God on a greater level. A man of God said on yesterday, the apostle said, there's an acceleration that's taking place in the body of Christ right now. The world system is getting darker, but the kingdom of God should be getting lighter, and we should be accelerating in the things of God. We should be up here when the world system is down here. And the last one is to judge. Apostles bring judgment and correction to the church. They issue sentences and verdicts against false teaching and incorrect behavior. And so when we hear our apostle in the congregation, he say something, you know, that's wrong, that the church should not be doing. That's part of what the apostle, sometimes he may not want to do it, but he's hearing from heaven. And since he's hearing from heaven, he must tell the people what God say. No matter what their face look like, you know, like the prophet Jeremiah said, it doesn't matter. I have to tell them what thus said the Lord. You know, so because if I don't tell them, then their blood is on my hand. But if I tell them what they say, I've taken it off of me and it's up to them. You know, God said, I've given you a free will to choose like you want to. So and if I tell you, then it's up to you to believe what I say and do what I tell you to do. So let's go back and look at a couple more notes. And then I'm going to go into and show you an example of a person who took the word of God, just like it said, and began to do some things. In this culture of honor, the leaders treat individuals as free sons and daughters and not as slaves. So we're free. We're in the kingdom because of what Jesus did. We are free. Turn to Galatians 5:1. So in the scripture, Galatians 5:1, it says Apostle Paul. Remember what I said? He they bring doctrine to the church. So Apostle Paul was telling the Galatians, it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, our freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So if we've been set free, then we shouldn't go back to that thing that yokes us down. We should stay free in the things of God. So then individuals, these fivefold ministry gifts should treat us as free sons and daughters of God. That's who we are. And so if you get in bondage about something that's going on, you're not operating in the way God set it up. That's why he gave us free choice. If you get in bondage, then it's not God. You've gotten in the flesh and you're operating in carnality in the natural. You come from within and go on the outside. Amen. Second one, they treat us as righteous. That's a God-given name that he's given to every believer. If you look at scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, the scripture tells us, "For he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God in him." So what he did, Jesus came, he fulfilled all righteousness. He took all my coat of sin, all my iniquities, and he took it off of me. And what did he do? He took his coat of righteousness and he put it on me. So now I can walk around and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not because of what I've done, but because of what he done for me. God put his, he put all of my sin, every sin that I had up on me, he took it and put it up on Jesus. And so since he put it on him, I don't have to operate in it. Just like when he said he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, the chest of my peace was up on him, with his stripes I'm healed. Then I, you know, if he gonna take it, why should I have to carry it? Why should I have to walk in it, since he already got it from me? And so when, you know, when the sickness come up, try to come up on me, one of the things, you know, I always think about that scripture, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they shall not follow. Sickness and disease is the voice of a stranger because of what Jesus has already done for me. He bore my sicknesses and he bore my diseases. And since he did that, then I don't have to say, when they come to me, I just look at them and say, hey, you know, at wrong address, you got to go somewhere else. And so we have to know that. And if that's how you operate, that's how God say we operate in this kingdom. You know, one of the things that Jesus, when the Satan come to Jesus in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 4, and then he came to him, he tried to give him some things. And first thing that Jesus told him, you know, he said, take these stones and turn them bread. And Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We have to know that, though. We have to understand it. That's what we call operating in the supernatural. And like I say, God has taken everything, all of his attributes, and he put it in his words. And so, and he also called us wealthy. You know, we are wealthy. We, you know, Jesus have provided everything that we needed. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where you say, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet he became," 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, "though he was rich, yet he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." And so if he's already done it for me, I might as well go ahead and receive it and take on what he's already provided for me. But I'm not just going to, you know, it's not just going to drop. I have to receive it. I have to believe it and receive it. Turn to Romans chapter 5, and let's look at a scripture over there. And then I'm going to read a couple passages of scripture to you. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and 17. And I tell you what we're going to do, this is going to be our meditation scripture for this week. You know, like I always say, I give you one meditation scripture because I believe in meditation. I believe in meditating the word of God. That's how we get it in our minds. It's already in our spirits, but we can get it in our mind, in our thought processes, in our soul, that we can know it. Here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign me, rule, take charge, or be in control in life by one." And so Jesus Christ. So we reign in life by him. That's how we do it. We reign by Jesus Christ. And so one more statement, and then I'll take you to a scripture here and line it up with Matthew 10 and 41. We started with that, and we're going to end with this one. "Leaders also acknowledge their interdependence on the diverse anointings God has distributed among his leadership and their design for functioning as a team that creates a funnel from heaven to earth. I keep saying that, heaven to earth. That's the paradigm we're trying to get to. That's what we're trying to get. We're trying to get heaven here on earth. Remember when Jesus came up out of the water and one of the things he got baptized, he came to the Jordan and John the Baptist was over there baptizing in the Jordan River. And John the Baptist said, you should be baptizing me. I'll show it to you in the scripture. But anyway, I'm just paraphrasing right now. He said, no. He said, this is something, John, you have to do that all righteousness might be fulfilled. So the righteousness that was in the old law had to be fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled that righteousness for us. And then when he baptized him, he said he came up out of the water. He said, and the heavens was open. That means that portal was there. See, that portal, that supernatural portal was over him. And as he heard it, he said, the Spirit of God lit upon him like a dove. And he heard a voice from heaven. And that voice said, and this is my beloved son. Had never did a miracle, had not done not one miracle, but God knew that his son was going to take care of the issues here on earth. That's by destroying the works of the devil. He said, and this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Let's turn over here and look at a supernatural functioning in the Old Testament. And like I say, a lot of the older saints operated in the kingdom. We have more. We have a better covenant with better promises, but they seem to operate in the covenant better than we do. And like I say, Jesus took care of all these things for us, but they had to operate differently. Turn to 2 Chronicles. And, you know, most of us probably have heard it or read it. And I have a few minutes. I might cover some of it tonight. Here in 2 Chronicles, and this was King Jehoshaphat, which was about five lines down from David. David was a king, but Jehoshaphat was one of his great-great-great-grandchildren. And so we who are in the kingdom, once we start operating in the supernatural, we have to leave a legacy for our children. We have to teach them, we have to train them how to operate in this kingdom supernaturally. And so as we're trained, then the ones who come after us, we're going to train our children, then our children are going to train their children. So it should go right on down the line that we all, and then, you know, God said, guess what? I've reestablished. I've got my kingdom back in the earth realm, and they're operating in the supernatural the way I set it up. And then they begin to see signs and wonders and miracles operating in the body. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it said, and it came to pass. This is a story. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them others beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. That was Jehoshaphat was a king. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria and beyond. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So what he was saying, he said, he set, remember Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first. When something, when adverse situations come up in your life, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, his righteousness. He's saying all these things shall be added on. So the first thing he did, when things come up, we don't run to the world system. We don't run to doctors. We go straight to God and find out, what you want me to do, Lord? How you want me to do this? And he says, he seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. And Judah gathered themselves to ask help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord court before the new court and said, O Lord, our God, Father, our Father. And so art thou God in heaven and rule. So what he began to worship God. He found him just like his granddad did over in 1 Chronicles 29. And when he began to tell God who he was, you know, you are the greatest. You're the honor, you're the majesty, you're the victory. And he went on to tell him who he was. So he had passed that legacy down so he knew how to come and worship God by telling God who he was. So what was he doing? By worshiping God, he began to bring God on the scene so God could answer his question. And so he went on to tell him who he was. And so turn over to verse 14. I could go through his whole story, but I'm just going to go through bits and pieces of it. He said, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the Midianite, a Levite. The Levites was the priests of God. And so what they was doing, they was speaking for God. They was hearing from God. And so when they was hearing from God, they bring the answer back to the man. This Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah and Jerusalem at the time. But God didn't speak to Jehoshaphat. He was the king. But here was a priest, a prophet of God that was hearing from heaven, and he heard from heaven, and he brought the word that he heard from heaven back to the people. He said, hearken ye, verse 15, hearken ye, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thy king Jehoshaphat. So here the man of God is talking to the king himself. So he had heard from God. It's just like the pastor, you know, is leading the people. But then there's a prophet in the midst who's under apostolic government. And so he's hearing from heaven. And so when he hears from heaven, he brings back what heaven wants here on the earth realm. He goes on to say, and thus saith the Lord unto you. He said, be not afraid, not dismayed by reason of this great multitude. He said, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord. See, that's an anointing on that passage of scripture right there. Because if you take God did it right there for him, if you can get a revelation, a rhema word out of that passage of scripture, no matter what come against you, yeah, you can take that word and use it in your life personally for yourself. How you do it? You take that word, you see right there, and you begin to meditate. Joshua 1:8 say you take this book of the law should not depart out of your eye, out of your mouth, but you should meditate in it day and night, and you make your way prosperous, and you have good success. And then there's Psalm 3, you know, 1:3, and it gets down to that point, you say, and whatsoever you do shall prosper. That's an awesome word there. Right? See, when you begin to meditate and you know, day and night, he said, you do this day and night, and it happens to you. And so, and verse 17, there, you know, after you get a rhema word from God, then he's gonna give you instruction. He's gonna always give you instruction. You look at verse 28, verse 16. And then in verse 17, he said, you should not need to fight in this battle. He said, set yourself and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You can attach that to Isaiah 41:11, where God said, you know, fear not, for I'm your God. He said, be not dismayed. He said, yeah, I'm going to help you. Yeah, I'm going to uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. He said, I'm going to do that for you because that's who I am. I am God. So the king, he heard a prophet. And that's why I say when you're praying for something, when you're seeking for God something, I mean, he could have gave it to Jehoshaphat, but he didn't give it to Jehoshaphat. He gave it to a prophet, a man of God. And he didn't give it to the rest of the people. He gave it to a Levite, which at that time was the priest of God, which was actually hearing from heaven. That's how that's how he had set it up. And he spoke to him at that time. He spoke to that Levite and he told him, he said, tell the people. He said, tell them. He said, you don't have to fight in this battle. He told him to set yourself and stand ye still and watch ye the salvation of the Lord with you. And you think they heard him? What they did? They received him as a prophet and they began to receive him and heard exactly what he said. And they didn't just hear, they acted on what he said, because Jehoshaphat, which was the king, what he did when he heard the word, he set up praise warriors and they went out and they began to praise the Lord, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures. Let make that your reading. Read through this chapter for this class for this week. And then the one part I want you to see, look at verse 20. The last part, I read through it, verse 20. He said, in verse 20, it say, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, which was the king, stood and said, he said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. He said, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. He said, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. He was laying it out there. You got to hear what the prophet's saying in order, because why? The prophet is hearing what God here wants on the earth. I mean, they could have took up the sword and they bow and arrows or whatever they was using back at that time. He told them, y'all don't have to fight in this battle. He said, but set yourself and stand still. And so they didn't see that was a supernatural function that he gave to the man of God. So they didn't have to do it. God, we here come in, our apostle is speaking words to us every day. We pray to God for some situations to be answered. He come in, he give us answers to our situation. And we act like, you know, well, God ain't said nothing to me, but it come out of the apostle's mouth. He told you what you need to do. And so again, that's you can tie that to Matthew 10:41. And those, like I said, this is developing, begin to develop a culture of honor where we can operate in the kingdom and begin the supernatural. See the supernatural operating in our life. We can't just be hearers of the word. We've got to become doers of word. That's what James said, Apostle James said over in this book. Father, we thank you. We praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, as I've spoken to you, I've spoken to your people. And I thank you that they're not just hearing what you say, Father God, but they begin to do what you tell them. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.